Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
Happy Father's Day, everybody. So, I've taught my share of times. Oh, kids. I was planning on saying it as I walked up there. Off you go. You know where you're supposed to go. Over the years, I've done my share of Bible studying and teaching. Not very many sermons. Actually, you got the first one in February out of me. There's kind of a rhythm in how I prepare to those things. You know, I knew that, the one in February, that kind of was classic for the rhythm that I get into, because it's kind of short notice thing. Like, even though this has been on the calendar for a long time and changed the date and stuff, I've known that I was going to get up here and preach for quite a long time. I don't really worry about it until really like 3 days before, and I wouldn't even say really worry about it. I just start maybe 3 days before, because I know Father is adequate. He's going to come up with and give me what I need, right? So I don't have to spend a long time preparing. It's an hour message. He can handle it, right? He can give me what's needed. Usually that what that looks like is the first time I kind of go and seek him is I just sit on my couch back in my room and just sort of sit and meditate and just sort of spend some time with him. And I just want to listen. And sometimes that's praying for the church and having a vision from him or getting a picture, maybe seeing where there's a need, something that can be spoken into, and just kind of feeling out where his heart is. Or maybe he starts giving me scriptures or an idea, maybe just the seed of an idea. And then so I'll pick up the Bible, I'll start looking at some of those verses, meditate on some of those verses and see what there is in there. So last time, right, I talked about Peter, and there was a certain passage in there that I kind of covered late in the show, which was about how unlikely it is when God asks us to do something, and he's looking for us to look at him in faith so that he can pull off a miraculous response, and that's the idea of a faith test. And, you know, it always starts with this word, it's unlikely, right? So I had that, and then I started to get a sense that, you know, he just wanted me to look like further and further back into Peter's life. So, you know, that evolved over a period of a few days, and then, you know, I just put this stuff together, and you got what you got. And I don't think anybody asked Casey for refunds. You know, a few days ago, you know, this date was sort of starting to look a little big on the calendar, and so I started that process and got nothing. And so another day in, and Father's just been really, really quiet. Now, truth be told, and I'll get into this, I've been in a little bit of a dark place in the last week or so because things have been really hard in my family. I'm going to talk to you about that. This is, after all, going to be, surprisingly, a Father's Day message. For you guys who have heard 100 Father's Day messages, maybe not 100, but you've heard Father's Day messages, and it's, you know, this is what kind of father you should be. This is a good father, you know. I'm not going to talk, I'm only going to talk about our Father. Our Father. Last night, I was talking to a friend on the phone, and he just shared beautiful things with me, and he really ministered to me and broke through some stuff. But still, like last night, nothing. This morning, very little until not very long ago, let's just say. What I got from Father was that he has me here empty-handed. I have no notes. See, nothing up my sleeves. We're going to get me how I know Father. And that's what it's going to be. When the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? Teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray. And what was the word that he used? Our. What was the word he really used? And what does that word mean? Daddy. The word Abba means daddy, and it's still used in Hebrew today. It's still used in the Middle East, all over the Middle East, actually Semitic languages. They still call their daddies Abba. And it was translated as father because people who translated that thought it's a little irreverent to call God daddy. But it's not irreverent if that's what he's taught us to pray. It's actually irreverent not to use the word that he gave us to address him by, because he wants us to know him as daddy. And that takes a long time to get used to, I'll just be honest. So we're going to pray right now, and we're going to call him daddy. Daddy, you are my daddy. And I love you. And when I come to you as my daddy, you want to spend time with me. You like me because I'm your kid. You just think I'm great. It's amazing. And I'm just thankful for you. So you got me working without a net here today, Daddy. And you're going to be my net. And I don't know what I'm going to say. But because you're in this thing, it's going to be from you, and it's going to be good. And so we all look forward to hearing what you, more so than Keith, what you have to say today. Because you're so good, and you're going to show up. So we've just kind of set our hearts on hearing from you right now, Lord. We're just listening. Me included. Thanks for being with us and being a good daddy to us. Amen. I'm a geologist. When I got out of school, my first job was a job overseas. It was an interesting job, and it lasted for about a year. I was married. My wife got to be over there with me. It was in Greece. And it was in the late 90s, and the gold price was dropping the whole time we were over there working on this gold project. And when I got back, the gold price had dropped really a considerable amount, and there was no money for any company that wanted to go look for gold. And I couldn't find a job for quite a while. And my wife was working an hourly job. She also had a degree in geology. She's making $8 an hour. I spent a lot of time looking for work. I was on the internet all the time looking for work. And I couldn't find a job, right? So I tried to send out 5 letters a day. And I kept that up for a while. And I got like 1 reply. 1. Not 1 a week, 1. I got 1. Because those companies, they had no money, and they wouldn't even burn a stamp on a guy who was looking for a job, right? So things got hard. And, you know, we were living in a small place. That didn't bother me. But we were looking at a future that didn't seem to be materializing. We didn't see a light out there at the end of that. And things got hard because, you know, we'd been married 5 years, going on 6, and I kind of wanted to start a family and have kids and, you know, all the kinds of things you kind of look forward to. But it got kind of dark for us there for a while. And we were going to a church, and the elders there were really great guys. And one day, I thought, you know, we should go to the elders and have them pray for us. And so we did. We went to the elders. And they kind of didn't really know our situation, and so they probably hadn't really, I mean, I think they prayed for everybody in the church, but it really kind of brought it to life. But they also blessed us. I mean, they really blessed us that day. And the light just started to come on, right? And I don't know really how to describe that, just so much as there was hope where there had been hopelessness. And just a sense of sort of rest came into my job search. I had started a job. At first, I wasn't working because I was pouring all my time into the job search. But I started a job, you know, that was good. But there just started to be more hope. And as I pursued this job, there was one metal, platinum, which was actually doing well. Gold was in the dumper, but platinum was doing well. And I kind of got this idea. There's a mine up in Montana, that Stillwater mine. They mine platinum there. It was kind of the only game in town. And I contacted this guy out there. He was the chief geologist. We had a conversation on the phone. And then we had planned this vacation. So now this is August. Like, I had gotten back from Greece in December, and now it's August. And quite a lot of time's gone by, right? So, and yet, since maybe it was June or May when we had the elders pray for us, I was less and less worried about our situation. And like I said, the light was just coming on, and I felt like I'm safe. It's going to be okay, right? And we had a vacation plan to visit my mom out in Washington. Now, we lived in North Carolina at the time. And so flew across the country to visit my mom, and Montana, or Washington's sort of close to Montana, relatively. And so I contacted my guy over there. It's like, I'm going to be in Washington. What if I came over? So I kind of invited myself over, and I didn't know what was going to happen. Maybe it was just going to be, he just shook my hand, right? Say, good to meet you. Call me again sometime. But no, so I went out to Washington. We had to rent a car. It was very financially burdensome for us to rent a car and take that step. But we did that, and I was edgy, right? I was kind of nervous. We're plunking a few hundred on the car and a hotel, and off I go, right? So go to the airport, rent the car, still edgy. Get in the car, turn the key, and peace comes over me. I go over there, I drive over there, I meet this guy. It turns into a full-fledged job interview. We have commonalities. The guy I worked for in Greece, he had worked for same place in New York. Something else. There were like these three key connections that we made, and it just looked like it was on. And he just said, "Okay, just call me. Keep calling me." And so I got back to Montana, or got back to Washington, and my wife says, "I'm pregnant." I was like, "Well, that ups the amperage, right?" So. But, you know, still really at peace. And when I got back, I was still working for the same company. They kind of shifted me to a different spot. So, but we were really short on money. And they had these things. It was this fiber optics place. And, you know, I don't really care about fiber optics especially. But they had those big travel cases and stuff with the metal on the corners and the buckles and stuff, you know, and you open them up and they all the padding in there for electronics and stuff, and, you know, this really heavy-duty shipping cases, right? They would send out these fiber optic splicer units. They're $30,000 or $40,000, send them around the world, get them back in one of these cases with all these stickers showing its travels, and they'd put that in the warehouse and put the thing in a new one and send it out again, right? So they had 60 of these old cases sitting around, and they just started giving away to people. I wasn't even an employee, and I wound up with like a dozen of these things, right? Around this time, our finances are looking pretty thin, and I'm thinking, you know, we're tithing, and we're at peace, but it's looking like I'm going to have to get another job. I'm working 40, but it was going to look like maybe 60 was what was needed, except eBay started around that same time. And so I got these cases given to me, and other people were selling cases online as well. I mean, there's tons of stuff on eBay, right? There's no shortage of those little guys. And I put my first one on eBay, and I get like 70% more than everybody else's. I got $191 for my first one. And so I just keep this up, like one every week or two, and they're going for the craziest prices. Like, mine are getting blessed, and other people's are just getting bids. I'm getting blessed. They're getting bids. And it's just poor. It's like, I didn't have to get a second job. And then meanwhile, I'm calling this guy every once in a while in Montana. Every month I'd give him a ring. He's like, "Yeah, your turn's coming. Keep calling me." Well, like month after month went, and I'm still calling. And yet, I reached the point of having such peace about just having identified God's hands, my father's hand, my daddy's hand, in what was going on, that I stopped all other aspects of my job search. I just pushed, like in poker, you just push all your chips on the table. And I was all in. And I began to have this feeling like, there was just like, it was almost like the air was just sparkling around me with his presence and his goodness. And I felt like I was hugged all the time. Like I go to work and I'm working kind of this low wage job. It didn't matter. I was just like really, really joyful. And it, you know, as December rolled by, now it's been a year really since I haven't had good work. And my wife's, you know, the clock's ticking louder and louder on her, right? So March rolls around. And then in the end of, around early April, I'm sitting in my living room, and I'm thinking about what it would be like to work at that mine, because through my months of phone calls and thinking about it, it's not actually going to be that easy of a job. And I had to wonder, is this something that I would actually do for a while? And I thought, you know, if this is the one that the Lord gives me, I'll do it for as long as I have to. And I just really kind of accepted, okay. And right then the phone rang. And it was the job. And so, worked on getting on out there and got out there, started in start of May. The insurance didn't kick in for about a month. And then Devin was born 4 days after that. And here's what happened. So we're at the hospital. It's a difficult birth, right? It's not going that easy. And Patricia and I had not settled on what Devin's middle name was going to be. And there was a point, again, where I just kind of had to let go of the situation because I didn't know what was going to happen. It was looking rough, right? But I really let go of that situation and gave it to my father. And then it kind of really, everything eased up all of a sudden, and he was born. And I felt like when he came, he was just a real gift from God. And that's what Nathaniel, his middle name, means. And that settled that. And he was so fascinating. Like, just right away, like I'd never had a kid before. And, you know, you can eat ice cream, you can make a friend, you can watch a sunset, and those are all distinctly different kinds of pleasure. But when you have a child, that's another one. And so if you've never had one, you just don't know. And my love for my son just sprung up in me. It just sprung up like out of nothing. I had this love for this person that I'd never met before, and just this messy red guy, you know? And I was just really overwhelmed by that. And as I thought back about my job search and how during that time when I'd stopped searching for a job and just was waiting on God, and how it just seemed like I was hugged, I'd been kind of baffled. It's like, why do you love me so much, God? And then when my son was born, he just explained it in my heart, because it's like, because you're like that to me. Because you're like that, right? Our daddy really, really loves us. He really, really loves us. And I loved to come home from work and just say, give me the boy. And I just hold my son, right? I just love to hold him. I love to be with him. And my daddy, who took care of me, he loved to be with me. And it was easier for him to be with me when I was trusting. It was easier for him to be with me when I was obedient, right? Most of you have seen me come and go from here with my son Devin and my daughter Emma. Most of you don't know that I have another daughter that's between them in age. Alyssa is 16, and she is chronically ill. Since she could talk, she always talked about pain in her stomach, and it took a really long time for us to figure it out. Like, nothing worked, doctors didn't know anything, and it wasn't really severe, but in 2014, she kind of went over the cliff, and we found out that she has Crohn's disease. It's an incurable immune disease where your body attacks the intestines. She had to get flown to Salt Lake and had surgery. And well, at first she was there for a week. They figured out what she had. They said, this will treat it, can sort of manage it, but we can't cure it. Went home, and like a week later, she kind of blew up again. And what that looks like is pain so bad your eyes are rolling back in the head and writhing around. And people are doing horrible things like shoving tubes from your nose into your stomach. And we got to watch all that. And that's not easy to watch, I'll just tell you. She hasn't felt very good for many days in her life. And the years between 2014 and now have been a roller coaster in which maybe for 6 or 7 total months, she felt like an ordinary person. That's all she's gotten in her life for feeling like a normal person. And she has had months and months of continuous pain at very high levels and didn't know what it was. She's had amazing breakthroughs at times where we've really thanked God, and she's gotten a 3 or 4 month respite from her pain, and then it's come back, and we still have not really figured it out. She's got a lot of mysteries in her. And I can tell you, as her daddy, that's not easy to watch. She went through a dark period. She was suicidal. Tried to kill herself. She's deathly allergic to peanuts. She walked from our house to Walmart, bought a Butterfinger bar, and ate it, and nothing happened. We had a big mystery of where that wrapper had come from. But I'm here to tell you about God's faithfulness, right? My daddy is a good daddy. I have prayed my guts out for my daughter. She's in the hospital right now. It's the 6th time this year. She's had 2 major surgeries and 4 lengthy hospitalizations. And they're probably not going to be home for 3 more weeks. I have prayed my guts out. I've done everything I know. I've had people pray. She's been blessed countless times. She's still sick. But I'm here to tell you that my daddy is a good daddy. He's still a good daddy. And Casey and I, excuse me, Casey's really been by my side in this thing. And a number of times we've had these conversations and they go a little like this, like, I just don't understand. I don't understand. And in the end of the conversation, because it doesn't really matter the other part, you can imagine all the things that I might say in a situation like this. In the end, we just say, it's a mystery, but God is good. And here's how he's good. My daughter, she loves God. She has this deep trust in him. Like when she was suicidal, it didn't really last all that long, really. That was a dark patch that she went through. But she knows him, and she trusts him. I don't know whether it's harder for me, but honestly, and people say, well, it's got to be rougher for the parent than for the kid, but seeing what she's been through, I don't think I hurt as much as she has hurt, especially lately, when it's been really hard. But she trusts in God. And when she's been home after her 2nd surgery, she didn't heal up very well. You know, she had this abdominal opening and stuff, and it was very painful for a number of weeks, like searingly painful, to treat her, and we were doing that at home, right? There was no way of getting around that. It's called wound care. Hope you never have to have it or do it. Patricia would mostly do that, my wife. But Alyssa wanted me in the room just to hold her hand and just to be there. And man, I would do anything to make that date, right? Because I'm her daddy. I want to be a good daddy. Sometimes I couldn't be there. But my heavenly daddy, he never misses a date. He's so good. He's good. And I tell you what, it'll really test you to have suffering going on in your family. 2014 was a banner year for suffering in my house because Patricia also got breast cancer that year. And it just sucked. Work was as hard as it had ever been for me. A lot of things were not happening right. So, but I'm not here to talk to you about that. Except to maybe say, where it comes to suffering, I've got some street cred. Okay? And God is good. God, He is good. And so when people get in a situation and they have these challenges coming out that are very, very difficult, there's moments, and I have these moments, right? I'm not going to lie to you. I have these moments like, God, why won't you? And it feels like He's in on it. Not the good part, the bad part, right? I'm just being straight with you here. We'll have these times when it seems like, God, you're God. You're God. You made galaxies. You made the whole thing, and you did it just by speaking, right? You could. But what I think is happening right then is that we're forgetting that He didn't break the world that we live in, but it's a broken world. And it's a really messed up world. It's not the one that we would really, really want, right? Yesterday, as my friend was ministering to me, I was having a hard time really connecting with Jesus. Just because things have been really hard lately, and sort of these cares and worries that were on my mind had really kind of gotten to me, and they sort of weighed me down. But my friend Jim, he has this way of just cutting through that, and so he just sort of led me back to Jesus and just said, you know, just ask Jesus to show you what He's doing. And I couldn't see Jesus very well at first. But as I just waited until I could see Him well, He was just sitting in a really comfortable chair on a deck, looking out and enjoying the view. And He wasn't worried. Jesus isn't worried about our troubles. He's engaged with our troubles, but He's not worried about the situation. And today, as I was thinking about coming up here empty-handed, contrary to all of my practice in the past, coming up here empty-handed, saying, okay, God, you got to pull this off, right? I just went back to Jesus. I should add this, that Jesus just let me snuggle up in the chair with Him. He pat my head the way my dad did. So kind to me. And so as I was sitting back here waiting to come up and thinking, wow, Lord, I'm really empty-handed. This is just all on You, okay? Here we're going to go. And I said, Lord, I want to connect with You again. I'm having trouble with this thing. What's going on here? I want to see what You see, Jesus, when You're sitting there. And I sort of had this vision of sitting where He was on this deck in this comfortable chair, Adirondack chair, and looking out, and I saw that in the foreground, it was kind of mountainy country for quite a few miles, and it wasn't very brightly lit. You know, it seemed a little bit dark, but way out in the distance, small in the distance, there was this light. And as I thought about what I was seeing, it just seemed to me that Jesus is waiting for a day when He gets to come here and fix this broken place. And he's not disturbed by what he sees, but he does know it has to get fixed, right? And that day is coming. It's a day closer than it was, right? Nobody knows the times or the eras that the Father has set, Jesus said. I think Jesus doesn't even know yet when that day is coming. My daddy knows. He's keeping it a secret. That day is coming. And I haven't gotten an answer for my daughter yet. Not the one that I really, really want, the one where she's not sick anymore. I haven't gotten that answer yet. But there's a day coming when I know she won't suffer, right? Maybe I'll get to see that. Maybe I won't. But she loves her daddy because her daddy shows up. And I love my daddy because my daddy shows up. And in these times that have been really hard, he's been faithful to who he has said he is. He's daddy. He wants to be called daddy. And he's a really, really good one. And so when you think of our daddy, you can think about the Trinity maybe this way, if this helps. Jim shared this with me, my friend, who I was talking to yesterday. He said to me, I just really want to understand, like, you know, we talk about the Trinity, and he said, I went to Jesus, he has the most wonderful experiences with God. It's incredible. Shared this with me. So I went to Jesus, I said, so in the Trinity, like, what do you each do? Like, what do you do? And he said, Jesus said, well, I'm so glad you asked. He said, when you come to me, you can come to any of us, really. We're in it together, right? So you can come to each of us. But if you come to me, remember, I went to the cross with your sins, and I gave you my righteousness. We made a trade, right? And if you need any exchange, like if you're hopeless, come to me for hope, and you can exchange your hopelessness for hope. And if you're just in sorrow, come to me with your sorrow, and I'll give you joy. And if you have shame, remember, I took all shame on the cross so that you could have freedom and release, right? And release from that. And if you need healing because you have this broken place, I heal. And I've talked about that. I talked about that last time when I spoke. How God will bring inner healing to things that are 50 years old. He'll turn 1,000 pages back in your book so he can turn one page forward and show you how much he loves you and heal you, right? He's really good. But he said, but if you go to the Father, your Father, he really wants to spend time with you. So come to me for an exchange, but come to the Father, and he just wants to spend time with you. What a great daddy he is. In the midst of these troubles, lots of times, I've found him just willing to just be with me. And a lot of times, like, his answer hasn't been healing. As much as I wish I could say for myself, for my daughter, to testify to you that my daughter is healed, hasn't been that answer. But his answer is himself. And himself, when he gives himself to you, he gives you the fullness of joy, peace beyond understanding. And he's good. It's just like rich goodness. Just, you know, you chocolate fans, you talk about rich. You guys may know something about God that we don't know, the way you talk about chocolate. So, but he's rich in goodness, rich, abounding in loving and in loving kindness, abounding in loving kindness. And then Jim said, and when you go to the Holy Spirit and you need comfort or you need power or you need teaching or wisdom or knowledge or understanding, the Holy Spirit's your guy. Right? Anyway, that's what Jim got out of that, and that's what he shared, so that's free. I want you to know that we have a really, really good daddy. A good one. Better than your dad. He's better than my dad was. I had a pretty good dad. But my dad's dad was an alcoholic, and my dad had some damaged spots in his heart from having a dad that wasn't such a great dad. He was better than his dad, and I had a pretty good dad. But God's better than our dad. And he's really good. And so when those times come along, which I was talking about, and it seems like the thing that we really, really need, healing for my daughter, or whatever it is for you, and it hasn't come, God's not in on that, okay? He's the one that's trying to break into this world, that broke into this world pretty violently with Jesus and rocked the heavens through Jesus with that death and that resurrection, right? That was the Father's plan. He said, Son, here's what I want you to do. And toward the end, Jesus said, you know, if there's any other way, because this is going to suck, but nonetheless, your will, not mine, right? And so he did what the Father's will was. God is the one who breaks into this world, and he's not done breaking in, right? So when we have those moments when it just seems like the thing that we really desperately want, it's still happening, we just have to remember he's good, he's not done breaking in, and it's darker at sometimes and more complicated than we realize. But he's still good. It's more complicated than we realize, but he's good. Okay? Paul says of God, he's able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think. Okay, how many times can you say more, 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 better, 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 far more abundantly beyond, right? It's like, he's like, if I was going to emphasize something, I'd like circle it and point arrows to it and maybe put stars around it and use colors and stuff and hold that up and say, see, far more abundantly beyond what we ask or imagine. That's our God, okay? Right? He does that. Okay, Alyssa's not well, but it's amazing, if you think about it, that I can sit here in front of you and say, God is good. And the only way that that is possible is because he has done far more abundantly beyond what I asked and imagined, right? I couldn't have imagined 15, 20 years ago going through the amount of suffering that we've had in our house and be able to say here and testify to you that my Father in heaven is worthy of all glory, all worship, all praise, unending forever and ever, and regardless of any circumstance that I see, he is good. He is good. He is good. We have a good, good father, a good daddy in heaven. He is really, really good. And when it comes to those nudgings of the Holy Spirit where you think, that's what you want me to do? Really? It's safe to obey those. And I'm up here empty-handed. I never want to fly without a net like this, right? I usually don't, and yet this is what he really wanted me to come and say, apparently. Like, I didn't know, but this is what he has for us today. Happy Father's Day, Father. We love you, and we rejoice to praise and exalt your holy name. And we will continue to praise you for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness and your love, which never fails. And today we want to say happy Father's Day to you and just delight you with praise and worship and thanksgiving. Thank you for my daughter. Thank you for her trust in you. Thank you for your ability to use suffering to get at places inside us and heal them so that when we come to you, we can still say you're good. Thank you for your never-ending faithfulness, and thank you for that light in the distance, which is your promise of hope to us, as well as the promise of your presence with us now. Happy Father's Day, God. We love you. Love you crazy. Amen.